You think about the forest fires in California and the flooding in the Midwest, hurricanes in the Gulf Coast, tornadoes through Tornado Alley, just lots of destruction, natural destruction that can really tear things up. We remember what happened in Taylorville last year, and there's a lot of destruction. But this morning I want to talk about some destruction, but it's not of natural causes. It's what we do. We pin this, we blame this on ourselves. And Solomon has a lot to say about lying and dishonesty and deception and cheating and the consequences that come from that. That God holds in high regard our honesty. That we not be people who speak untruths. But that as a Christian, God upholds those who speak the truth. And oftentimes we get caught up in a web of lies. And it's something that we should pay careful attention to, because it can be very damaging in relationships. And we unfortunately, as a society, have a real struggle with committing to the truth. We kind of just pass off things that, well, I don't know, it's not that big a deal. What I said, it wasn't that big, it wasn't that important. Well, it's nothing to worry about. And we kind of slump off the truth, and we just kind of ignore it. And it's very unfortunate, because it's not what God would desire from Christians. In Proverbs 11, verse 3, Solomon writes, "The integrity of the upright guides them, but the unfaithful are destroyed by their duplicity." And I want to focus on that word destroyed, this word that Solomon chose to use. It's describing a violent action against someone else. And when you really think about lies and dishonesty and deception, it is destructive. Whoever you're saying this to, it can lead to destructive destruction in someone else's life. You yourself might not think of it as being that big of a deal. Unfortunately, oftentimes we don't think about what we're saying, how the other person perceives it or takes it. And when we spread things like this, it's destructive in other people's lives. And, well, at the heart of every relationship, whether it's a spouse relationship or a friendship, a relationship with coworkers, at the core of every relationship is trust. And if we chip away at trust, and trust starts to erode because of deception and lying and dishonesty, over an amount of time, that relationship will falter, it will fail, because there's no longer trust. And trust is key to having a strong relationship, regardless of who that relationship is with. And so we have to guard our hearts of speaking lies, of getting caught up in a web of lies. In Proverbs chapter 6, Solomon describes 6 things that God hates and 7 things that God detests. And in this list, 2 of them, one is a lying tongue and the other is a false witness. And so when we speak these things, it's things that God hates. He absolutely detests. And so, in our culture today, we maybe don't pay too much attention to the truth and upholding the truth and holding ourselves and others responsible to the truth. But it's something that God is very concerned about. That He wants us to correct in our lives and be people that live the truth. In Proverbs chapter 12, verse 22, Solomon writes, "The Lord detests lying lips, but He delights in people who are trustworthy." That word "detests" literally means nauseated. Have you ever said to someone, "You know, that just made me sick. I couldn't believe they said that, it just made me sick." Or you saw something on TV and you thought, "Man, that just made me sick. Sick to my stomach." And that's what God is saying. When we speak this way, when we don't uphold the truth, to God it nauseates Him. It disgusts Him, because He hates it. Because God knows what it can do to relationships. And we have to face it. Relationships are very important. And so we need to uphold the truth. There's more than 30 verses in the book of Proverbs that speak about being truthful to others. And so this is very important that we follow this. But unfortunately, the problem is we're very accepting of this behavior of not being truthful. We've become immune almost in our world to following the truth and upholding the truth. But as Christians, we should look much different than the world in this regard. Last year, the New York Times did a survey, surveyed 100,000 people, asking them about certain ways that they lie. And here's the information that came back. 91% of people say they don't always tell the truth. So that's about every one of us. And we spoke earlier, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, that this is a sin and it's something that each and every one of us are guilty of from time to time. Now, the survey went on to say that 36% of people lie about important matters. 86% of people lie to their parents. And now all the kids are saying, why'd you have to say that, Dave? 75% of people say that they lie to their friends. And 69% of the people said they lie to their spouse. And as I read this survey, I almost wondered, but can I believe this? Because did these people lie about the things they lie about? It's a web. It's a web of lies. It gets tangled and messy. And that's why it's so important that we talk about it. It's so important that Solomon has words of wisdom inspired by God to help lead us from this. Sociologists have come to the conclusion that the average person in a day's time hears 300 lies. No, I'm just kidding. Actually, it's 200. See how easy it is to just say something that's not quite truthful? It can just roll off the tongue and we don't even give a thought to it. And that's why, as we uncovered a few weeks ago, when Solomon said, above all else, guard the heart. That's why it's so important that we guard the heart as to what we let into it, because it can influence us. And it can influence in the way that we speak and the things that we say, whether they're truthful or dishonest. We have to pay careful attention to this. And so this morning, we're going to expand our definition of a lie. Because unfortunately, when we think of lies, we think of the big lies. The big ones. The big ones that could really get you in trouble, perhaps. That's what we think of when we think of lies. We don't necessarily think of the small lies, the little lies. You may have said, well, it was just a little white lie. It's not really that important. It doesn't affect anybody. It's not that big a deal. And when we have that idea in our minds that it's not that big a deal, we shouldn't worry about the little things. It's only the big things. Then we're more apt to continue to lie. And we'll lie about this and the next thing and the next thing. And then it becomes very easy to lie about the big things. And so we have to cut ourselves off before it gets out of control. What we need to understand is the insignificant things aren't so insignificant. And we should watch ourselves. And so the Proverbs, the book of Proverbs, it gives us a few kinds of liars. And here's the first one, the flatterer. Telling people things about them that aren't necessarily true. And we're guilty of this. But when we flatter, when we tell someone something that's not true in hopes to maybe coax their ego or keep yourself perhaps from getting in trouble, that in a sense, we are feeding them a lie. We are telling them something that in all reality isn't actually true. And when we lie, we have to call a lie a lie. We have to point it out. And so we have to be careful of this. Because we can find ourselves giving someone a false sense of who they are, or what they've done, or what they're about, and that can be dangerous. In Proverbs 26, verse 28, Solomon writes, "A lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin." And it can, if we take it too far, cause damage in a relationship, and it can break down trust. How many of you ever watched American Idol? Come on, be truthful. American Idol is a great example of this. It's not as popular now as it was a decade ago. But American Idol, if you're unfamiliar, people show up to major cities in the United States, and they're there, and they come in, they stand in line, and they try out in front of judges on national television to make it onto this television show that's in Hollywood, and then they keep whittling down, people vote till they get a winner. And when you watch the opening shows for the different cities, it can be quite comical because you have people who come and stand in line and stand in front of judges to sing, and they shouldn't be singing. Maybe in the shower, but definitely not in front of other people, especially on television. Now, unfortunately, along the line in their life, they had perhaps a parent who told them, "Oh, I just love how you sing. You're the best singer I've ever heard. You just sing like a bird. You're really going to be a good singer when you get older. You're so talented." And then they get in front of those people and they have this thought because they've been flattered for so many years. And then they're let down. The judges are kind of wincing because it hurts their ears because they sing so poorly. And then they have to tell them, "You're really not any good." And when we flatter, when we say things that simply aren't true, it leads people in a direction that's not a good direction. And we have to call it, a lie is a lie. Proverbs 29, verse 5, it says, "Those who flatter their neighbors are spreading nets for their feet." And they can get caught up in that web of lies, and there's danger there. And so we have a decision to make. Am I just going to agree with people and flatter them? Or am I going to stand upon the truth, speak love in truth, and do what it is that God would want in that relationship? The second kind of a liar is the exaggerator. Now, with the exaggerator, there is truth, but then we take the truth and we stretch it a little ways. And when we start to stretch the truth, then lies become a part of the story or the occasion or whatever's happening. Why do we exaggerate? Well, we like to get attention. If my story's exaggerated, more people will listen to me, or it'll make my story sound better. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone, before you knew it, you're one-upping each other? "Oh yeah, well I did this. Oh yeah, well this happened, you know, and this happened." And the next thing you know, you're embellishing and you're saying things that actually aren't true. And that's exaggerating, and that's a sin. That's a lie. Or we exaggerate to promote ourselves. To promote ourselves in someone's mind that we're more than what we actually are. And that's dangerous to do because it's a sin. And when we exaggerate, that's proving that we have within our heart a root of selfishness. Because we're wanting it to be about us or about me. And that's dangerous when we do that. It's like the fishing joke, you know, the fishing story. "Oh, my fish was this big." "Oh, yeah, right." And when you become labeled as a person who exaggerates, it becomes very hard to be a person that you can trust and believe. When I was growing up, there was a man named Wayne Bushu, the town I lived in. And he was in the Vietnam War and he lost his left arm. And he would tell you, "Hey, what'd you hear about the fish I caught?" "No, Wayne." And he could do everything with one arm. "It was this big." And he would trick you because he would hold his hand like that. In a way, he's, you know, exaggerating. It's like the boy that cried wolf. After he cried wolf enough times, what happened when he actually needed help? He couldn't be trusted. And when we are labeled as an exaggerator, it'll get to the point where we've eroded the trust with people, and they'll just say, "Yeah, well, that's this him. That's just her." You really got to take that with a grain of salt. They exaggerate a lot, and that's dangerous. Proverbs 10:19 says, "Sin is not intended by multiplying words, but the prudent hold their tongues." And it can be so enticing, especially when you're having a conversation with someone about what you've accomplished or what you've done. It's so enticing to embellish the story, to exaggerate. And you might be thinking, it's just a little bit. And it's just that little bit is all that it takes to stretch that a little bit more and a little bit more and a little bit more. Here's a headline for you. This is hilarious. This headline in a Nevada small-town newspaper said, "Bogus Oompa Loompa admits to lying." 10 years ago in a small Nevada town, there was a man, he was 4 foot tall, and he had lived a lie that he was one of the original Oompa Loompas in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. And people believed it. He had everybody in the small town fooled until someone investigated it and found out that it was a complete lie. He had embellished and exaggerated this for a really long time. And in the article, here was his what he said once he got caught. He said, "I never meant to hurt anyone. It was a little white lie, and now my life is ruined." And it's interesting that the truth eventually will find us out. And so our hearts need to be in the right place, and we need to speak the truth. The third kind of liar is the cheater. You know, this happens in school. That's the first thing you probably think of. In business and in relationships. Maybe you've booked a hotel, the pictures online look like it's a 5-star, and you show up and it shouldn't even have a star. You want to regrow your hair, so you buy the box of stuff, but it's not going to regrow your hair. The toothpaste says whiter teeth by tomorrow. I'm sorry, but your teeth aren't going to be any whiter tomorrow. You're not going to lose 150 pounds by eating Subway three meals a day. But that's what we're sold on in our culture. That we're, in a way, cheated, we're swindled, we're told lies in order to get something from us. And that's a dangerous line to cross. Proverbs 11:1 says, "The Lord detests dishonest scales, but accurate weights find favor with Him." And so God wants us to be honest, truthful people in all of our dealings in life. But not looking to scheme and to cheat and to spread lie to get ahead. And we get really creative in justifying this. People will call it, "Oh, it's just standard business practice. It's no big deal." Or, "Well, everybody else is doing it." And we can get caught up in that web of lies, and it gets very messy, and it destroys relationships. In Acts chapter 5, we're introduced to two people, a husband and wife, by the name of Ananias and Sapphira. In chapter 4, as that chapter closes, Barnabas is mentioned of selling some property and giving all the money to the church. And I would imagine, reading into the story a little bit, that Ananias and Sapphira were trying to be a part of the church as well, saw this transaction happen, probably saw the pat on the back to Barnabas in his generosity. And so they too decide to sell a field, yet they're going to hold back some of the money, not give the money to the church. And Sapphira is on board with the plan. And Ananias shows up and gives Peter some money and said, "I sold this field, here's the money." And he catches him in this web of lies. In a way, he's trying to cheat because he doesn't give all that he said he would. Peter calls him out on this to be truthful, and he drops dead right there in front of him. 3 hours later, after he's been taken off and buried, his wife shows up, tells the same story, yet Peter knows the truth, and asks her why she would lie, and she dies right there. I want to read you a verse from what Peter says to Ananias in Acts 5, verse 4. He says, "What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God." And I think if we would take this very seriously, that when we spread mistruths, when we lie, when we're dishonest with people, it not only severs and tears down relationships with human beings, with people, but it also deteriorates our relationship with God, because He detests it. God hates it when we speak like this and when we act like this. And the fourth kind of liar that we find in the book of Proverbs is the promise breaker. In Proverbs 12, verse 22, it writes, "The Lord detests lying lips, but He delights in people who are trustworthy." And I think as a parent, this is a tough one. Because we'll tell our kids, we're going to do this, or this is going to happen, and then life circumstances happen, and we end up not doing what we said we were going to do. Now, as a kid, they might not really understand why, but they'll start to not trust. And this happens enough, and you tell your kids, "We're going to do this, or this is going to happen," and then it turns out and it doesn't happen. They're going to start believing that, "Well, Mom or Dad said that, but it's probably not going to happen." And this happens in our adult relationships as well. We need to try to do the best to do the things that we say we are going to do. That's what God calls us to do. But when we start pulling back on the commitments that we make and start breaking promises that we say we're going to keep, that starts to break down the relationship, and it starts to whittle away at the trust, and it makes it really hard for a relationship to develop, whether that's in a marriage or with your children or with coworkers or friends. And so we have to be careful, and we need to be people who go to great lengths to keep the promises that we say we're going to keep with other people. Now, we've pointed out the different ways that we can spread lies, get tangled up in a web of lies. And so this morning, I want to give you two commitments to try to make that I think would point you in the right direction to guarding the heart and overcoming getting tangled up in a web of lies. The first one is this: I will tell the truth in the small things. As I mentioned earlier, usually when we think of lies, we think of the big lies. But we need to focus on the small things, the things that we think really aren't that big a deal or aren't that important. And as long as we don't focus on that, they will start to snowball. They will get larger, the lies will get bigger, the web will get even more tangled. And before we know it, we are in a big lie. And so we need to focus on the small things, work in that. And the second commitment is to tell the truth, even if it costs me something. And this is hard. To tell the truth, even if it's going to cost you something. It could cost you financially. Maybe at work, someone is over your head wanting you to fudge the numbers or do things that aren't quite right in the business world. And you know it's not right. You know it'd be dishonest to do it, but you have that pressure. How are you going to react? Perhaps it's something in a relationship with another person that you just need to be honest about it, and you know it's going to cost you something. It may be painful, it might be embarrassing, whatever it might be. Would you make that commitment to tell the truth even if it costs you something? And if we're willing to make these two commitments, we'll be able to navigate through life and be people who are truthful and honest with others. You know, when you consider this, we should look so much different than the world in this regard. You know, as Christians, we're called to look different, to speak different, to act different than the world. And when it comes to speaking the truth, we should look so much different than the world. We shouldn't get caught up in this web of lies and dishonesty and deception, but we should stand firm on speaking the truth. The Bible mentions that Satan, his native tongue is a lie. The Bible mentions that Satan is the father of all lies. Conversely, however, the Bible speaks of God as truth. The Bible speaks of Jesus as being the truth teller. And so that's where we reside. We reside in God and His truth and His promise. God had asked Abraham and his wife to leave their home, to move to a foreign land that they knew nothing about. And He told him, "I will make you the father of all nations." And Abraham trusted, and he went. And God kept His promise because God is truth. God told Noah to start building a boat in the backyard. They called it an ark. He said, "I'm going to flood the world because the wickedness of man has gotten so out of control. You're the only person on the earth that is God-fearing, you and your family. And I will save you and destroy the earth." Abraham or Noah had never seen a raindrop. Yet he was faithful to what God had called him to, and God was faithful and saved his family. Why? Because God is the truth. God called Moses from a burning bush to go back to Egypt, to be the mouthpiece of God, to ask Pharaoh to let his people go, the Hebrew people, from slavery. Moses went. He saw the 10 plagues. He saw God part the Red Sea and save the people, the Hebrew people, millions. God was faithful. He kept His promise. Why? Because God is truth. And God wants the truth, His truth, to be in you. That's the starting point. If we want to be people of truth, if we want to be people who people can trust, that people know we're honest, it all starts with having Christ in you. Without Christ in you, trying to be truthful and honest all on your own will be impossible. Because God is the creator of truth and honesty in all things that are good. And so you need Jesus Christ in you. You need the Holy Spirit of God in you and guiding you. Because on our own, this life is too difficult. But with the Holy Spirit guiding us, with Christ is who we put our trust and faith in, we'll make it. You'll be able to accomplish being that person. And this morning, we're going to worship together in a song, giving you the opportunity, if you haven't made this decision to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, to call on His name, to repent of your sin, to confess Christ, and to be baptized in Jesus. to be put to death in a watery grave and raised to a new life in Christ. Just as Jesus was laid in a tomb and 3 days later arose to a new life. That's a promise that God has given to you, and He will never pull back from that promise. And so we invite you this morning to make that decision if you feel led to. And many of you have already made that decision. You're a Christian. Perhaps you have been for a really long time. Maybe you're looking for a church home, and we welcome you with open arms if you're a Christian, a baptized believer in Christ, to be a part of the Paint a Christian Church family. And as we sing this song this morning, and you're sitting there, and we're going to stand in a moment, maybe as we sing, you'll think about the faith that you have in God and how He has been faithful and true to you throughout all your days. And how is it this week? I cannot get caught up in a web of lies. I'll focus on those small things so they don't become big things. And I'll make a decision to tell the truth, even if it's going to cost me something. That's really tough. With God's strength, you can do it. Let's stand and worship together.